And if you please stand if you're able. Please stand if you're able to read God's word. This is Psalm 124, and this is the word of God. A song of ascent of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they will have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood will have swept us away. The torrent will have gone over us. Then over us will have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Please pray with me. Merciful God and Father, we come to you this beautiful sunny afternoon because whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down from you, the Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. Please grant us that your Holy Spirit might help us understand and embrace with faith your word. Although persecution is present in different parts of the world, we thank you that we can freely worship here. Thank you. Please help me deliver this word faithfully and that something that may glorify your name in their hearts and my heart. We ask you this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Speaking of my family, one day I asked my wife, what was her favorite childhood church memory? To which she replied, that I got to eat street tacos after church. Well, I wasn't expecting that. But what are some of your memories while growing up in church? Well, what about if that memory was seeing your parents being arrested in front of you? This tragically is what happened to an 11-year-old boy from China. In December 9th of 2018, when his parents, Pastor Juan E. and his wife, and more than 100 church members from Early Rain Covenant Church were arrested by Chinese authorities. Seeing the church is being persecuted in different places of the world, maybe Ethiopia, where our pastor went, seeing sickness, tragedies, death knocking our doors, the natural question that arises, and the question I'm going to try to answer today, is the following. Is God in our side? Is God in our side? The psalmist today, he puts our memory to exercise. So our three headings in our quest to answer these questions are the following. First, we're going to see David's memories. Second, we're going to explore the memories found in the narratives of the gospel. And finally, the church memories. So first, David's memories. According to an expert, more than one-third of the Psalter of the book of Psalms contains some sort of lament or affliction. This produced by either illness or enemy. One-third of the book of Psalms. But the book of Psalms is not just a list of wailings or complaints. Rather, their love responses in shape of praises to God. Because God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, in love and grace and mercy throughout history, He has intervened in favor of his people, showing that indeed he is on our side. Our psalm today belongs to a collection of psalms known as the Song of Ascent or the Pilgrim Songs. As the title says it, there were songs that the people of Israel will sing during their pilgrimage on their way to Jerusalem. They have to go 3 times a year. Yearly, they have to go 3 times to participate in certain ceremonies. In verse 1, we can see the dynamic of the group and how they sing it. First, we see the person who is conducting the group, starting by saying, verse 1, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say it." Then he will continue, "Let Israel now say it." This will mark everyone that's present on the tone that they were going to sing it. Now that everyone joined in, they will say it again. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when?" This is when David starts to give a list of afflictions. A list of afflictions that they suffered together. Remember, they were not just together when it was time for church. They were together in life. They know what they've been through as God's people. One thing to highlight is that this psalm doesn't sugarcoat what they suffer. Instead, in order to express the type of danger and suffering they have been through, David uses imagery that had a meaning in the region. Humans, birds, wild animals, water. This is the picture of all the creation. So David is portraying their affliction as the whole creation, if all the creation was against them. All this anti-creation coalition had a purpose in mind, and that is death. In verse 2, we can learn more about their intentions. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, they will have swallowed us up alive when their anger kindled against us." They have swallowed us alive. You can hear the bestiality, right? Swallows up alive. This is the kind of maliciousness that they were coming against God's people. David himself experienced this in firsthand. In 2 Samuel 5, describes us that when the Philistines heard that David had been installed as a king, they went up, they marched there, and tried to kill him with the intentions of killing him. So David prays to the Lord, and the Lord answers him. The Lord answered him by saying, "Go up, I will certainly give you the Philistines into your hand." After defeating the Philistines, David praise God, saying, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood." In the psalm that we just read, verse 4, it says that, "If it had not been the Lord, then the flood has swept us away." You can see the contrast. The paradox here is that instead of David being swept away by the flood, by the water, we see the Philistines being swept away by the Lord. God showed that he is on their side by protecting David. David, whom later on in history, we know that our Savior comes from that line. God protect David for us as well. But this sounds like a good memory from David, right? But as I mentioned earlier, this psalm was used for pilgrims on their way and was used by many generations after David's death. They sang this song on their way to the temple to Jerusalem as part of their worship. But there was a point in time when they couldn't do this because there was no temple. It had been destroyed. In one point of history, due to their continuous unrepentant sin, God exiles Israel from the promised land. And their temple gets destroyed and they get captive. The next two pictures given us by today, it tells us how the exile will look like. In verses 4 and 5, we find the imagery of water. Water that wanted it viciously drowned them. The next imagery that he gave us is a birth seen freed from a trap. So the combination of drawing and a birth being trapped is found in the book of Lamentations. In the book of Lamentations 3, it says the following: I have been hunted like a bird by those who were my enemies without cause, water close over my head. And I said, I am lost. The hunter and the trapped bird. In the ancient Near East, in this region, and at that time, it signified a city that was sieged, that it was conquered. And being conquered in those days was the worst thing that could happen to you as a city. Of course, that could happen in any time of history, but particularly in this time, because it will mean that your God is not with you. That's what will mean, your God is not with you. So they were captive, they have no temple, no city to go to, so they couldn't sing this song that we just read. And the natural question that arises from them is, will we ever come back? They knew that God showed David protection and deliverance. But this is a different story. They have break the covenant. They have sinned. So they can ask themselves, are we ever going to be free? Is God, with our sin, ever going to rescue us from Babylon? And the answer is yes. God shows them once again that he's on their side. So he breaks the snare and brings them back from exile. And when he brings them back from exile, they start rebuilding the temple. So here we have them. Now they're free, and they're able to sing this song again. But singing this song again, it will remind them of all the pain they've been through. So the question is, why, after suffering so much, why they want to sing this song that reminds them of all the pain that they went through? This is what the psalmist calls the people of God to do, to worship God by remembering what they've been through. The magnitude, the hunger of destruction that they suffer from the enemy. Why? The reason is so they can understand and embrace better God's mercy and deliverance. In verse 2 says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when David is trying to tell them, all these vicious attacks mark us. Suffering marks your heart and your life. But the Lord marked our path with grace and mercy. And he has intervened in history to save us. It was important for the future generations who came back from the exile to remember that God is merciful and that he was on their side. And that he's granting them the privilege of worship him again. Why it was important for them to remember their afflictions and deliverance? Because although they came back from the exile, their enemies were still standing. All the imagery of creation, men, birds, wild animals, sea, it was still a threat. How do we got here? Have you ever thought about this? How do we got here? Something really bad had to happen that all the creation that was declared by God to be good now is seemingly to be against us and wanted to kill us, God's people. Something really bad had to happen. And that is true. Something really bad happened. And that is sin. Adam and Eve sinned against God. And since that happened, death entered the world. Sin and death go hand by hand. Sin caused them for them to be in exile. The enemies on the list of these enemies are treating God's people with death. This is the image the water represents. In verse 4, there are three different ways that water is represented. It is represented as an enemy. The water is represented as an enemy that wants to submerge them. In the ancient Near East, the sea represented some sort of deity, of a monster. As someone else noticed, quote, he said that the sea symbolizes the death and chaos that the enemies of Israel bring with them. In Psalm 74, there's an analogy. There's a picture of God destroying sea monsters. Because sea was seen as a deity, as an enemy of God's people. I know it's hard for us to see, to think about images and pictures. I know there are different gap of generations. There's significance. But so far, we have recognized three enemies from this psalm. Three enemies. And they are men attempting to destroy God's people, sin, which affect the proper worship, and death. This one being represented by the sea. Do they look familiar to you? Isn't that our enemies as well? Death, sin, and man trying to destroy the church. They're not just Israel enemies. There are enemies as well. Sin and death are something that is striking us since the fall. Recently, I heard the story of a writer. I heard the story of a person going to a self-defense instructor to learn how to protect himself. So the first lesson of the instructor told him, "Come. Get closer and stop when you think that I'm going to strike you." So he does, and he steps around 2 feet away from him. So the instructor tells him, "Can I strike you from here?" He said, "Yes." So the instructor answered, "Then don't stand there. The best defense is to move from the striking zone. The problem is that the problem with us and in Israel is that we cannot move ourselves from the striking zone of our enemies on our own. We put ourselves against the ropes, and sin and death are continuously striking us. The only way for us to move is if God shows that he's on our side. And he does. He sent his only son to take us from the striking zone. He received all punishment. He defeated our enemies, sin and death at the cross, which they were coming, as described in the psalm, like raging waters. God showed in Christ that he's on our side. This is a good moment to transition to the memories of the gospel. The gospel memories. One occasion, the disciples were in a boat with Jesus when suddenly a storm hit them. We're all familiar with that story. The waters was being a threat to them. So Jesus was sleeping and they rushed to wake him up. He got up and he rebuked the sea, and there was a great calm. So they were amazed. They asked, "What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obeyed him?" Well, this is the God. This is God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. The same one that destroyed the sea monsters in Psalm 74. He came in flesh to destroy our enemies and show that he's on our side. But the gospel narratives do not start with Jesus calming a storm. It starts with Jesus in a manger, as a baby. And as similar to what happened to David, as soon as men heard that he was the new king of Israel, they went after him and tried to kill him. Although Jesus is God, he was man. He took the flesh and blood. So he needed protection as well. And God showed him that he was on their side, and he delivers him from his enemies. And he tells Joseph to take him to Egypt. If you think that it's bad that all the creation turns against and try to kill God's people, how will you describe all the creation trying to kill the Son of God, the Creator himself? And this, you can imagine the magnitude of sin. How bad and how horrible is sin that is trying to kill the Creator? This is the enemies that we have. In verse 2, it says, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, then they will have swallowed us up." Knowing the intentions of our enemies, now we can read together verse 6. "Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth." He could have done it, right? We deserve it. We sin against the Creator. This is something that we bring upon ourselves. But 1 Corinthians 15:21, it says that although by a man came death, also this verse shows us how God is on our side. The next part of 1 Corinthians 15:21, it says, "By a man has also come the resurrection of the dead." Christ took upon himself all our sins, those sins that didn't let us worship God properly. Christ at the cross became the one exiled instead of us. At the resurrection, Christ defeated death. Christ himself came down to show us that he's on our side. That God is on our side. There's no more clear way to show you that God is on our side than Christ himself dying on the cross and raising from the dead. If you ever have doubts, is Christ with me? Look at the cross. See the cross. He was there for you. He was there for us. Now is a good moment to transition to the last thing, and this is the church memories. A church historian highlighted in verse 8, that verse 8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth." He said that, quote, "became a standard declaration of faith at the beginning of Christian worship." This was true in the ancient church, and it was revived during the Reformation. After seeing how Christ demonstrated that he's on our way, that he's on our side, I mean, by taking our place at the cross in order to redeem us from our sin and being raised from the dead with him in his resurrection, isn't it logically that verse 8 became the standard declaration for all believers? That the Lord, that our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. The temple that was in Jerusalem, where they have to go and do the pilgrimage, was made by hands. It could be destroyed by the same hands that it was built with. And we can see that sin didn't let us worship God properly. So it is true that God forgave us sins. We're still dealing with sin, me and you. But we're not trapped like a bird. We're not trapped to it. We're not bounded to it. We're free. And the Holy Spirit is working in us. And we're going to be perfected when we go to him or he comes back. We're pilgrims. We're on our way to Jerusalem. But a Jerusalem not made by hands. We're going to Jerusalem that is in heaven. The temple where God dwells. The book of Hebrews writes the following: Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are not already here. He went through the greater and more perfected tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, that is not part of this creation. This is the temple that is in heaven, and we are on our way to be with the Lord. So what role does this song that we just read, the psalm, what role does it have on our lives, on you that live here in Ripon? As pilgrims on our way, we must worship God by remember what he has done for us in Christ. Why is it important to remember what God has done for us throughout history? Why David wants the readers to remember all the trials and deliverance? Because on our way to our final destination, to be with Christ, we're still going to face enemies. Death, sickness, they're still going to be on our way. Also persecution, like the brothers in China and all over the world. We're still going to face enemies in the way. But in those moments, we need to remember that whatever our enemies had in common and tried to intimidate us with, that is death, doesn't have power in us anymore. Did you guys remember? What was the anti-creation coalition common threat common tool against us? Death. They all want the death of God's people. But now death is not a threat anymore. Now death has been conquered by Christ's resurrection. This is why Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he says that because Christ's resurrection, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So sin and death are not a threat anymore for those who believe in Christ. Our enemy tried to separate us. Our enemy tried to separate us from God with death. But instead, we see that nothing can separate us from God because Christ defeated death. Not even death can separate us from Christ. This is why Paul in Romans 8, he comes to the conclusion of the following. What then, we say, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son's son, but gave him up for all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, nakedness, danger, or the sword? No, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, no powers, no height, no depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God is on our side through His Son, Jesus Christ. And there's nothing in this creation that can separate us from His love. In conclusion, this is the memory that we need to keep in mind. We need to keep in mind Christ on the cross, Christ in the resurrection, to show us that He's on our side. When death, pain, suffering, persecution, like Ethiopia or China, or even here, if it comes to ripen, we need to make sure that we're resting on the promises and the hope that Christ is on our side. That Jesus Christ came Himself and that of the cross. And although death tried to swallow Him, He break. He break from the trap. On the third day, He raised from the dead. Because nothing, and with that, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from Him. And nothing can separate us, nothing can stop us on our pilgrimage to our final destination, to the Jerusalem that is in heaven. Nothing can stop us. And on our way there, we must worship God in gratitude, confessing that our help is in the name of the Lord, in the name that is above every name, that is Jesus Christ. Once, to conclude, let me tell you a story that I read in a book about how knowing that God is on your side and trusting God in the midst of suffering. A two-year-old son, a two-year-old boy, walks in holding the hand of a mother to a hospital to undergo an open heart surgery, such that he will save his life. At his short age, he doesn't know, he doesn't understand what surgery is, neither the pain that he's going to go through. Everything that he knows is that he can trust his mama, because she will never allow nothing bad to happen to him. This is why he walks in holding her hand. How does he know it? How does he know that? How does he know that he can trust in the mom? And how does he know that the mom will never allow nothing bad to happen to him? Does he know that for his cognitive capacities, for his intellectual capacities? No. He knows it because at his short age, his mom, has showed him nothing else than love for him. She feeds him. She plays with him. She gives him kisses. When he wakes up from the surgery and anesthesia starts coming down and all the pain starts kicking in, the first face that he's going to see is going to be the mom. And the mom's there, faithfully loving and caring for him. Love overcomes doubt and every pain. God has shown that he's there for us. He cares for us. He feeds us. He loves us. He frees us from sin and death. He's more faithful than the mother to his child. God is always there for us. He always be there in the moments of suffering, in the moments of pain. When you open your eyes, God is there with you, and he was there at the cross for you. Let's remember that God is there for you, and he was there for you in the most important place, and that is the cross. And let's remember that while we worship God in our way as pilgrims on the way, let's worship God saying that if it wasn't for the Lord, where will you be? If it wasn't for the Lord, our sin will continue and death will continue. But because the Lord was there and his son Jesus Christ, death and sin are not a threat anymore. He has conquered them. Let's worship him in our way to the Jerusalem that is not made by hands. Let's pray.